Hi, and welcome to Parent Talk with Bev, a Black British mother of West Indian descent with two young adults based in London, UK. As you know, I'm going to keep saying it, not an expert of anything, but just sharing thoughts, opinions, and experiences around parenting in the hope that it helps another parent or someone somewhere. So as you all know by now, the hashtag means we talk about anything really, and today is a space for that question. Did I want my children? Now, before I launch into this deep topic, I've had some feedback that some people are listening to the podcast while they're walking, cooking, having a drink like tea, coffee, no alcohol is required, or while pottering around the house. So thanks for that feedback. It's been really appreciated and good to know how practical this can be. We all don't have to be glued to a screen, you know what I mean? For those who commented on the sound quality in some of the sound quality that I've had because of some of the guests who I've had to have on the phone due to COVID-19, well, I've bought a new plug-in mic just for the telephone. So I'm crossing my fingers that things will be better. Just for future note, if I'm going to go deep or something, you might have to do, we might have to do a part one and part two so I can finish the conversation. But I'm trying to rush this and get it in within a certain amount of time so that we can move on. So the question was, did I want my children? Now, why am I going to come up in here and ask a question like that right out? Well, last week I was with my friend. She'd invited me to a presentation on some pots and utility ranges that improves the quality of the food that we eat. So anyway, after I did the presentation, we were catching up. She wanted some feedback, and I'm all about supporting a sister or a brother who's trying to do a thing. So I was encouraging her really to do a little side hustle, because we all need different streams of income, especially now. Just like that, when I was in America, what I remember was, you know, seeing friends of mine who had a couple of jobs. One was doing real estate on the side while working at a bank. Another was working at a bank doing real estate and also working in a store. So, you know, different streams of income were the norm. This was back what? Early 90s. So now that we're in the UK, London, and I'm seeing people who've got little side hustles as well, it's real. So it's woken me up. You know, COVID has woken me up, and I'm sure it's woken you up to think about things differently. And all of us are thinking about new ways of doing things. And some of us are just wishing for the old ways to come back. But we're in a new. So getting back to the question at hand, and I was saying to her, right, that, you know, why doesn't she take this opportunity forward? And then rather than just being a consumer, why doesn't she, you know, make it into an earner? And at that point, she let me know that she has a young family and these children were wanted. So for her, the priority was about spending time with them. I mean, she and I, we both play badminton. And while I've declined to play in the league, no matter how many times I've been asked, she actually does play in the league. And trust me, she brings her sons to events and sessions. So, and when they're there, we know that they're there. But the time she spends doing something she says that she loves is a lot of time. And so, you know, taking this side hustle into a more permanent thing where she can earn money, she's seen that it will take her away from spending time with her three children. And you know what? It was lovely to hear a mother clearly say she wanted her children. You know, in previous podcasts, I've had fathers speaking, and they too have said they wanted their children. So why is there a perception out there that some of us did not or don't want our kids? I know that as an older mother, That is me, by the way. I'm an older mother. I was in my late 30s, early 40s when I had my children. And as I've said before, my stepfather said I was past it at 27. Well, actually, he told my mother those words because he was concerned. I have also had people make assumptions about me during that time that I didn't want children because I didn't have them. Not because I said I didn't want them, but just because I did not have any. Others assumed that I couldn't have any, while others thought that I was too picky, hence no kids. Sometimes I corrected people, and then I got to the point that I didn't really care, couldn't be bothered, so I just let them assume what they wanted to. And then there were times I thought that I might not be able to have children, but I have had those times, like any woman, when I've panicked thinking I was pregnant, only to see Mother Nature arrive when she wanted to and when I was less stressed. I keep forgetting about this ping, ping, pinging sound. I used to have it before. I'm going to quit this particular app and hopefully I won't get any more of those ping, ping messages. So as I was saying, right, so Mother Nature arrived and I was less stressed. When I was growing up, I remember me and my peers, we used to talk about our mothers telling us that we were mistakes. Some mothers clearly told their kids that they were a mistake, like my mum did. And then there were others who were told in a roundabout way. How did I feel about being told I was a mistake? Well, it did impact me and my feelings of worth. But when I listened to the rest of what my mother was saying, I kind of got a new perspective. I got a perspective. I understood. You know, in the 60s, abortions were not so readily available as they are now. And although there was the option of backstreet abortions, she did not go there. She had difficulty with my grandfather, who I believed, I think, kicked her out, and she had to find a place to stay and work and think about what to do for the future. So was she brave? You'll have to listen to our discussion in an earlier podcast. She even told me that I was her handbag and was with her wherever she went. Take that as you may. I have taken it positively and negatively, depending on my seesaw of emotions. So, I was so where are we now? Where are we going? Where are we heading? Well, I remember a few weeks back, Meghan, Prince Harry's wife, had a miscarriage in July 2020, and it made me look back at what I was talking about and the luxury to even think about talking so openly about, did I want my children, when some women desperately want to have children and can't. I want to leave that there because I would prefer other women's voices to talk on this at a later date. You know, some women, because they don't have a partner in the picture, have to make decisions that will impact their lives. But thinking of Meghan and Harry, I remember being around, 35 to 38, coming to terms with the fact that the likelihood of me having children was not actually going to happen. I'd been in two long-term relationships. I'd not taken preventative precautions, and yet I was not pregnant. So I was getting myself ready to pursue another direction in my life, and I was focusing on my singing. Yes, I sing. You know, I'm going to save that for another podcast. Anyway. At the time, I'd applied for work abroad. And I was going to be working in Italy, and I was in the process of finalising plans and I had a gig planned that was going to take place, which I had already bought my stage outfit for. So when I fell pregnant, I was worried about if I was going to be able to wear that dress that I'd forked out plenty of money for. Side note, I still have the dress and it now fits me again. So it was money well spent. Anyway, back then, some women like to say, when I fell pregnant with you, or I fell pregnant, or we weren't planning to get pregnant, or have children. We weren't planning to get pregnant or have children, or you were our surprise. All nice ways of saying the same thing, I think. I remember being a little stunned when women, especially those at the church I used to go to in the 80s, said they planned for their babies. But then all my friends from school were just falling pregnant or having accidents or getting caught. So planning, that was a novel idea. When I got married back then, I remember I was in church, so marriage was the expected and natural route. I also planned to have children, just never said or never sat down and talked about when. I was married at, I think, 18 and a half, 19 at the time. And so I had plenty of time to have that conversation. So just knowing we were married and going to stay together forever didn't mean we had to talk about it, did it? It was just going to happen. Of course, we took precautions, or at least I did for the first year or so. And as time moved on, my then husband started to say things like, we didn't need to rush into having children, that we were in a good place doing things we wanted to do, so could take our time. While around us, those who had married were getting pregnant and we were not. Then, as time ticked by, he said, I don't think we really want to have children. I did not get that memo. And when he said it, I got a hamster. My hamster was called Foggy. I think looking back, its name was my state of mind, because now I was married for life, where the goalposts now had changed, where we were no longer wanting to have children. When we were dating, I made it clear I wanted 6. But now you've decided you don't want any and somehow expect me to go along with it. Well, all I can say is at least I never gave him a jacket. For those listening, that means I never went and got myself pregnant by someone else and pawned the child off as his. I know of a story of a guy who has done that with some woman. The last child she was having, I hear he rushed to the hospital when she was in labour, only to buck up on her husband. When the husband questioned why he was there, it all came out that the child that she was having was not the husband's, but his, but this man. Not only that, that the other 3 children at home were also his, and that none of the children belonged to the husband. Listen to me, you think EastEnders has got storyline? I hear nothings that it makes no sense watching TV dramas, because you couldn't write the script of some of the stories I know that happen in real life, and I'm sure you do. But anyway, whilst I walked away from that relationship, when my husband of that time made up his mind he didn't want children anymore, we're in the marriage, we're not having a conversation, the brother's just made up his mind and just sort of said, we don't want children, do we? I mean, you know, how do you look at other people when your husband makes a statement like that? You're going to contradict him in front of people? No, well, we haven't discussed that, darling, have we? And we have. No, well, that's not how I see it. I was young. I was like, he'll change his mind. Change his mind, my ass. Anyway, as I say, I walked away from that relationship. And just to be clear, it was not because he no longer wanted a baby. There were other issues. But the last straw for me was catching him in our home with another woman, regardless of the circumstances. While he told me to wait outside while she got herself together. Yes, you heard me. I think shock kicked in. No, I never kill her. No, I never fight she. I think when something inside you dies, you just crumble. And that's what I did. Was I glad I never had no children for him? Hindsight is a wonderful thing. Looking back on your past with fresh eyes and multi-layered understanding is truly a gift. It took me a while to recover. I ain't gonna lie, it took me a while. And in the cold light of day, I was glad I didn't have a child for him because I no longer had to be attached. Now I hear about karma. You know, karma. Well, I hear about the karma that's happened in his life. And whilst I'm sad for him, I'm not part of it at all. So what would you choose? Anyway. We're talking about, did I want my children? And my first child, expected, planned, or accident? The truth is, she was not planned. Was she wanted, though? The answer is a resounding yes. And I'm not saying this just because she's going to hear this podcast. So I'm changing my words. Please, don't get it twisted. You are the last to hear this stuff because it was extremely important that both my children knew or know without a shadow of a doubt that they were wanted. I could have chosen to terminate, but I did not. And I did not know what the future would look like. But I knew that I was old enough and I was sure enough of myself that I would cope. I didn't know that I would nearly die in childbirth. I didn't know that I would have mental health challenges after the birth. I didn't know that I would suffer a little baby blues. I didn't know that the person I had started the journey with would not be in my life some X amount of years later. But it was important for my children to know that they were wanted. I have experienced dealing with children when I used to do a lot of youth work, who have been told that they're second best, that they're mistakes.
I should have thrown you away when I had the chance.
Listening to these children and what they've been through, and working with young people, my teaching, youth work, community work, listening to my peers who have talked about being second class within the pecking order of their siblings, the golden child syndrome, the black sheep of the family, that springs to mind, and other ways of being described that do nothing for our self-worth. I too have had to deal with my mum expecting me as the girl to do everything that she didn't expect of my brother to do. And that included her expecting me to take care of him, even though he's older than me. You all know that didn't really go down well. Anyway, so I felt it was important to let my children know that they were so wanted. Yes, my first child was not planned, but she was wanted. Hell yes. Even when I couldn't keep anything down but water because of all the morning, afternoon, evening sickness, this child was wanted. My children have told me that my children have been told that they are my Alpha and Omega, my beginning and my end, equally loved, yet loved differently according to their needs. Well, I hope so. Love that is custom made for their needs and adapted to flex when needed. Love that is never in doubt in my mind. Last night, my youngest asked me if there was anything that she did or would do that would affect me loving her. I told her point blank, nothing could ever stop me from loving her. I may not agree with some of her decisions or actions that she may take, but my love is not the question. If they say something dodgy, I let them know straight away that it don't go down, sir. Have I spoilt them? I don't think so, but others will be the judge of that. They have been spoilt in terms of being allowed to question things, to think critically, which has rebounded on me, believe that. But I'm up to the challenge, and nothing stays the same. I've just got to love my way through it, even when it hurts. Even if it shocks me, I would like to believe that I would come back to love. I've shown them love, even when they could not have things their own way. Yes, I did tell them that me and you is not friend. You know, to set boundaries around my love. Love for the here and now and love for the future. That's the hardest love because we're so used to having our needs met right now. Otherwise, we don't think people love us. But sometimes it's the memory of sacrifices, the memory of conversations, the experiences shared. And it is those that I hope will show them how loved they are. When they look through my things and find the pictures, the cards, the paintings they made for me, their first baby dresses and baby clothes that I've put up for them, the baby teeth that they think the tooth fairy took away and replaced with money, the wedding dress that no longer fits that they can make something out of, the jewellery pieces that I've put aside for them, and little letters all over the place that I've written for them. The journals where I've expressed myself and kept secrets for them to have access to should they want to read them. I show them a love that has their backs and a love that lets them know I think they can do better with some effort. I don't create competition between them intentionally, nor do I play one off against the other. I know people are going to want to go into that, but not today. I'm not going to go into that today. I just don't play them off against each other. They have seen a love that gets frustrated. Yeah, true, true. They've seen a love that is impatient. That's true. They've seen a love that's patient. A love that gets angry and upset, but still giving and yielding when required. Love that sent me out to work all hours to provide a quality of life for us until I realized that the quality was not out there, but rather spending and investing in spending time with them was the real quality, the real worth. A love for myself that developed out of a crisis which reshaped me and made me question what love was, is, and can be. A love that is not just about what I needed, but also what my children needed. Did I really need to go back on the wheel of grinding, working more hours, more money, more holidays, more Xmas gifts, more toys, more clothes? No, the struggle's been real with less money, and we couldn't do certain things, but we had to and are having to find a new way of being. Have I failed to keep the roof over our heads? No. Have I failed to pay the essential bills? No. Have I failed to be consistent and focused towards my children? No. Did we have to give up some things like the holidays that cost too much, that I spent the rest of the year paying off the credit bill for? Yes. We got rid of some of the things that no longer served us. And we're still doing that, because it's ongoing. And COVID-19 has made us think again about what's really important. As I head to Christmas, I just can't be asked. But we have had such an eventful year. Christmas needs to bring some time of indulgence and joy. I'm just not gonna go overboard. Number one, I'm vegetarian now. I've never had a nut roast for Christmas. I've had salmon, but now my daughter is vegan. This is going to be interesting. My other youngest daughter has asked to buy cards and games. So I know that we're going to spend some time with each other playing, doing card games and stuff like that. So we will sort it out. I'm just not going to go overboard. My parents are not here in body, but we will connect, which will be important. While they are both still breathing, regardless of the situation, we are blessed. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for my children. I'm grateful that my children have key players still at work in their lives and mine. 2020 and COVID-19 has been a year that has made me realise how grateful I am. And with Christmas approaching, I have a lot to thank God for. I'm thanking God for my yesterdays, todays, and tomorrows. And I'm wishing you all, however Christmas finds you, I'm wishing you are able to look at your children and say, yeah, I am glad that I made the choice to have you and that you are here. And I'm going to love you. Just the way you are. So, thank you for listening. Wishing you and your loved ones daily blessings. Remain safe as always. Till next time, I'm out.